"For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you." You see, there's three things that New Beginnings tries to instill in all the children that we have had: that they have a purpose, that there's value to their lives. So no matter how they were born, under what circumstances, no matter what people have said to them about not wanting them, or they never should have been born, they have value and significance to God. And that there's a plan, that they're not here for no reason, that they have been gifted and talented uniquely to fulfill that plan that God has in their lives. And then we find it through prayer and a relationship with God. So those three things we try to instill in our children and the people in our neighborhood. And last summer, right after we left here, we had summer school, and the theme was "By His Purpose, for His Purpose." You have been created by His purpose and for His purpose. And so this year, we're looking forward to having summer school again, and our theme is going to be "Arise and Shine," based on Isaiah, "Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people, but the Lord will arise over you, and His glory will be seen upon you." And we're believing in faith that the 50 children that come to that, first through fourth grade, will receive that, and the glory of the Lord will rise upon them to fulfill great and mighty deeds in Jamaica. We also had a surprise this past summer, because we asked for teenage volunteers. And sometimes the volunteers are those that have graduated from the summer school program. And we had 16 teens volunteer, and we had to turn some of them away. And we realized that God is doing something here, that He wanted them to have leadership training and ministry. So one of our teachers from the Bronx in New York City, we asked her, and she gave a week of ministry to these teens. And it was very successful. So this summer, she's planning on coming the whole time. We believe God's going to expand that, and so that we're going to have both the reading and remedial work for the little ones, but we're also going to have a ministry to the teens. We've also been realizing that in our home, we have the only internet in the neighborhood, wireless. And so our veranda becomes a homework center, or come get on with all your electronic devices. And a couple weeks before we left, we looked out on the veranda, and there were, how many out there? 12, I think, out on our veranda. So we're praying, God, what are you doing here? And you're drawing them through our wireless, but you have something for them when they come. So believe with us that God's going to expand that. And we also continue to do our after-school reading program. And I was thrilled this September when the children got back their results and the mothers called and were so grateful that their children had passed the literacy assessment. And not only that, but the two children especially that were in our special Saturday morning classes to prepare them performed the best in the whole school. And so we give God glory for that. And the parents recognize. And so we believe there will be even more children as we go back now for those Saturday morning classes. I would just ask you to pray about something that has come up. We're believing in faith that this is God. One of our summer school teachers, who's from Indiana, who teaches at Indiana University, called me a couple months ago, and she said, "I would like to write this grant proposal and be able to do family literacy research, but it would involve a mobile library where we would have a small bus and we would take the books into these rural communities in the hills, and we would train the mothers to be the volunteers for the bus." And so we've developed this. It was approved by the university. It is sitting right now as we speak with the foundation that would give approval. If they say yes, then this, we believe, is not only bringing books and literacy, but the kinds of books that we're offering will be character building and Christ-centered, and that the mothers who don't know how to read very well, who would never come out to a literacy class, will be asked to be volunteers, and in our training to be a volunteer for the bus, will learn to better read themselves. And also to bring Jesus into the neighborhoods. The sky is the limits with what we would be able to do. So we just ask you to agree with us in prayer for that. And I want to end by being very excited to introduce your fruit, because we have partnered your church with us and your investment. And so our fruit is your fruit. And I couldn't be more thrilled to have Ramondo with us. He came when he was 6 years old. He's been with us for 17 years as our trainee, as our son, as our staff person. And I want him to share the miracle that God has worked in his life. So Ramondo, would you come, please?
Good morning, church. I'm so excited to be here. But first, before I begin, I want to say thank you to Brother Bob and Miss Mary. Without them, I don't know where I would be right now. So I want to extend my love and my thanks to you. Right now, I could cry. last year, summer, we were praying and believing that I would have enough money to get my visa and come to college in the States. Well, it didn't work out, and I doubted. And my faith, you know, something not going the way you want it to go, you're just, oh my, is this really God? And Miss Mary stand by my side and said, don't give up. Just keep believing and praying. So we prayed. In less than 2 months, out of nowhere, money just keep coming in, 800 a year. And I was like, Lord, thank you. I just want to tell you, thank you, thank you. And we're short like $550. One day I was, because I help and staff, I was there, I got a phone call from Brother Bob. He said, guess what? And I was like, what? Like $1,250, like even more that we were looking for, I was there. And I was like, God. I just started right and started to give God thanks, because we really serve a true God. Amen. Yes, sometimes we doubt, but we need to stop doubt and just look and know there's a God. Because sometimes I doubt for God. Sometimes I'm saying, oh, there's not really a God. But deep within myself, I know there's a God. And God, through all of this, God has lifted me up. And I'm an example. And thank you guys for supporting me over the years. Oh, and I'll be majoring in criminal justice. Yes. So I'm excited to start on Wednesday. Yes.
Am I on? Yes, I'm on. Praise the Lord. Well, we are very grateful to be back here in fellowship. I want you to know we travel quite a bit. There are some places where we require that we be put up in a hotel or motel because we may not get the exact nice treatment that we would like, you know? You know? But we never, ever ask for that when we come here, because we're treated like family. Kimmy is so, or Kim Marley, he's not Kimmy anymore, Kim Marley, has just been eating and eating and eating. And can I tell a little bit about dinner last night? Sure. I'm in the kitchen, he goes in, he says, I'm going to go to the bathroom. I said, okay. And then he decides, all of a sudden he comes back, no, I better eat a little more first. Then he goes to the bathroom. But I noticed that he did not take his plate from where he was sitting and put it in the kitchen. Then he come back from the bathroom. Guess what? Gone back in, got more food. So he has really been blessed with eating. And now Pastor Chris has filled up our van with sandwiches and food and everything. So I noticed in the back seat of the van, he's got the bag right between him and... he's wondering whether he'll be able to eat it all before we leave on Wednesday. I'm a little teary right now. I'm having a hard time seeing. He is Shabo Korean de Bisala Poti. Hariata Shokorian de Bola Fasa. He Moyande. Thank you. Himoyande sondibiliate shakuya dibiliande. We serve a great God. That God could call my wife and myself to minister to his people. Armando wants to study criminal law. He got up here and did pretty good. Maybe he's going to be a criminal law preacher. And we're so encouraged by that. And his desire from what he's sharing so far is that when he's done with school, he will go back to Jamaica and serve his country. He has become such a wonderful young man in our community that the people in the community want him to run for a political office. They want him to be a counselor. So you can call him counselor from now on. So it's just God. If we'll just be obedient to God, plant the seeds that he tells us to plant, we will see fruit. And don't ever quit. I can't tell you how many seeds we have planted in so many young men, and some of them are not doing well. That's only because the seeds haven't started to blossom. Amen? But the Lord told me, now I got to try to get away from that and get the tears out. No, I'm not a crier, am I, Mary?
No.
I'm usually a stern yeller. But the Lord told me a few weeks ago that 2016 is the year for reward. For reward. And I stand before you, my wife and I stand before you, that this is the first trip that I can ever remember that I only had to use my credit card once for a $20 gas fill-up. Everything has been cash. Hallelujah. I want you to know that 2016 is the year of reward, but not just for Bob and Mary Holland or New Beginnings Ministry. It's for everybody that serves the Lord, that follows his leading, that does what he says to do. Amen?
Amen.
So believe it. And many of you in this church planted into Ramondo's life. I know there was one person that gave towards his health insurance. I want you to know that this is the year of reward. Amen? Now, the title of my message, which I have to do, is Rich Towards God. Now, pastor didn't ask me to teach this. No one asked me to teach this. God asked me to teach this. And just be comfortable. I realize that God loves you, and he wants you to be rich towards him. A lot of us want God to be rich towards us. But he wants you to be rich towards him. Now, I'm still not used to all these gadgets, so bear with me. Pastor's supposed to have the things up on the tape. Okay, I've gotten into Google. I'm supposed to be getting into my Bible. Oh, there we are. Man, I don't have this thing right. Doing all right, Raimondo? Okay. Oh!
I can't find the network connection.
How did that happen? That was amazing. I didn't do anything. This is the story of the rich fool. The story of the rich fool. It says, then one from the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Man, who made me a judge or an arbitrator?" Is that the right word? "Over you." And he said to them, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of things he possesses." Now, in verse 16, when the word arbitrator means divider, all right? Jesus is really saying to this person or these people, you figure this out for yourself. He's not going to be the one that does the dividing and the arbitrating. If we look at verse 15 in the New Century Version, it says, then Jesus said to them, "Be careful and guard against all kinds of greed. Life is not measured by how much one owns." Some of us, instead of being rich towards God, all we're doing is trying to be rich towards ourselves. And we don't understand that if we're just rich towards God, God will take care of everything. Take care of your children. Take care of your children's children. You've heard this before. I'm going to say it again. I got saved. I got sober. Then I got saved. I ended up on the mission field 3 months after I was saved, full of the Holy Ghost, preaching in tongues, didn't even know what it was. And went to Jamaica with $57. Nothing else. And I'm still there. And God has given me a lovely wife of soon 28 years. Amen? And neither one of us ever get eyes for anyone else. If you're rich towards God, he'll cause you to be rich towards people. Love people. Love his children. Don't be looking at what other people have. One time someone described to me, Brother Jerry, that, because you're a car man, that hell was that Mercedes-Benz you wanted, but no gas to put in it. Maybe you don't want a Mercedes-Benz. Maybe you just want a good old Ford, but no gas to put in it. In other words, we can live in sin and be striving for all kinds of things. We get those things, but we can't use them. So we need to be rich towards God and don't be looking at what other people have. Our life, we're standing with God, isn't measured by what we have. How about the widow's mite? Big offering time, all the wealthy people there putting in what they want to put in. She come in, put all she had. And who does God talk about? The widow with her mite. Because she was rich towards him. Amen? We getting it? I'm getting chills. Our life or standing with God isn't measured by what we have. It's measured by your relationship with God, with your brethren. It's measured by your righteousness, right living. Live right no matter what's going on. Tell the truth. If you lie, get right. And it's measured by how you, watch out, Pastor. by how you give. Not get, give. Oh, how can I give? The paycheck just isn't going to make it to the end of the week. If you just give, more money would come in besides the paycheck. Oh, he doesn't know what he's talking about. Yes, I do. I just told you. I'm still amazed at God and this trip. It was a miracle, Jerry. It was just about a week before I would come here. Remember, I used to drive a Taurus. When I got to the States this time, the transmission went. The cost to repair that just wasn't worth it. I was going to give that to Raimondo to drive while he was here, and then when we came back up again next May, get a new vehicle. That wasn't God's plan. The Taurus went, had to get a new vehicle, got into a lease, the kind of car we wanted to get. Didn't have to put anything down, just gave that old Taurus with the bad transmission. Our Jamaican young men here, they see that Taurus in a different way, all the different parts and put a transmission in it, you know. But that's not how we do it here in America, right? Unless you're a car guy, I guess. And before we're getting ready to leave to come up here, the Lord said, call Jerry. Jerry likes to help people out. And sure enough, we took Raimondo to the car lot, and you look right there is a car. He wants it. And Jerry and I have been able to work out a wonderful deal. He's been very gracious. But on top of that, cash. Amen? Right, Pastor? Be rich towards God. And that richness doesn't always mean money. It means grace. It means kindness. Sometimes you don't know when you, these neighbor children are coming now. I thought we were done. I thought we were done. We were going to start traveling the world and preaching and doing this. No, God has different plans. So praise God. They show up. And now, you know, we used to mainly work with young men. The last time I looked, there was 12 out there and 4 of them were girls. Hallelujah. And when they saw me, they hide their head. Hallelujah. Now, soon they're going to start seeing me lift their head up. Amen? Be rich towards God. And God will be rich towards you. Verse 16 says, then he spoke a parable to them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man yielded plentiful. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops? Having things, having wealth, having houses doesn't measure who you are. I got to get to the other gadget to get another verse. Doing pretty good with the gadgets, ain't I? I want to look at Proverbs 13 and verse 22 in the Amplified Bible. It says, a good man. Now, this is neither male nor female. Let's say a good person leaves an inheritance. Now, I always thought it meant money or things. But when you read in the Amplified Bible, that's not exactly what it means. My mother was wonderful. And when she died, she left me an inheritance, $1,250. Hallelujah. That didn't take away from the great lady she was. But it says here, a good man leaves an inheritance of moral stability. People, this is what we need to leave to our children and to the people we're in contact with. Not money. Moral stability and goodness. Do people see us as moral and good? To his children's children. You see, when we leave moral stability to our children's children, they live right, and the wealth of the sinner, says there, finds its way eventually into the hands of the righteous. for whom it was laid up. So hallelujah. It's not so much, now granted, I'm not going to say you shouldn't invest and you shouldn't provide and do this, but that should not be the priority. The priority is living moral. The priority is living with goodness. And this is the example that our friends, our family, our children see. And that's what they inherit, and then they live right, and then the wealth of the sinner. That person is doing all those different kind of evil things, or, you know, you probably already heard of the scamming from the Jamaican scamming, the old people, the retired people. Well, if you saw them and knew where they lived, they build these big, enormous houses and big fences, and they got to have about 10 or 12 pit bulls in the yard to keep, because they're afraid because of the way they live. And what they're leaving for their children is instability, dishonesty. Amen? We have another lady in Florida I read about. She did a lot of embezzling of money. And she got caught and she started to try to repay it back. And she paid millions of dollars back, but she still ended up with 6.5 years in prison. We need to leave moral stability to our children. Daddy, you don't have much, but you're honest. Daddy, you don't have much, but I can trust your word. Daddy, you don't have much, but I know you love me. Amen? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. The world would be a great place. It'd be a great godly place if we could just get the revelation of this. Amen? Verse 18, back over there in Luke, says, and so, well, first of all, what the guy did, okay, so this is what he did. So he said, I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will store all my crops and my goods. What we have stored on earth is not real wealth. Wait a minute. We built the house. Okay, here's an example, and I see it with pastors, and I see it with ourselves. We built this big house, this beautiful house, and now the children are leaving. And all of a sudden, it's a two-block walk from the living room to the bedroom. You understand what I'm saying? Because we live right, the children are leaving and living right. Now, the house is their inheritance. You understand? You understand what I'm saying? So what we have on earth is not real wealth. Moral stability is real wealth. What we have stored in the spirit realm is real wealth. So this guy starts to grow more things and get more things and get more things. So his answer is to build bigger barns to store his things. No, the barn should be big enough to hold what you need and give the rest away. Plant the rest into people. That's moral stability. Earthly wealth can be lost. What we have stored with God is secure and available when needed. I was kind of, it struck me last night at the dinner table. The food was great, but the conversation was great. And then all of a sudden, Jerry got his phone out, his Bible on his phone out, and Pastor had his Bible at his phone out, and they started talking scriptures, and if you look at those scriptures that you guys talk about, they kind of went along with what we're talking about this morning. And I'm sitting there, I was saying, wait a minute, because I gave Pastor all my scriptures. I said, did Pastor go in there and look? And you understand what I'm saying? But it's what we need to hear. We're here together for a purpose. Yes, we were here last May. We come back quick, but we're here for a purpose. And I'm so glad we're here. The first church we were in was a chilling church. Presbyterian, old form Presbyterian. My wife's church she grew up in with my mother-in-law, who's 93 and doing wonderful. So we went there, and that was, you know, kind of, Mary was asked to share for 1 minute. But we knew that. We expected that. The next church was in Philadelphia. That was totally different. And scared Kim Marley to death almost because the pastor came over and gave him a mic and said, sing a song. And I'm glad we're here for our last church on this trip because it's such a blessing. You're a great group of people. And I don't talk that because I need to talk that. I don't need to talk that. It's the truth. Even though it's starting to get a little chilly in here right now. So earthly wealth can be lost. What we have stored with God is secure and available when needed. And part of the conversation, Jerry last night was talking about the oil prices dropping and how people's stocks is going down. And you know, BP is laying people off and these kind of things. But we're not dependent upon that. We're not dependent upon that. Amen? We're dependent upon being rich towards God. Verse 21 says, so he who lays up treasures for himself is not rich towards God. But he, not the scripture, this is my saying, but he who plants in God's kingdom deposits in his own heavenly bank account. How many say you got a heavenly bank account? Raise your hand. Amen. Hallelujah. And we're planting in it and planting in it and planting in it. And when we need, there it is, withdrawn. Amen? Amen. Let's look at 1 Timothy now. This thing. First Timothy, chapter 6, verse 6. He's laughing at me. I'm not going back to the regular Bible. My wife still uses the regular. See, she's got it there. Now, godliness with contentment is great gain. Godliness with contentment at peace, is great gain. More and more, I'm learning not to be nervous how the light bill is going to be. You know, light bill in Jamaica, one of them in Jamaican dollars is like about 17,000. That's just one, there's four. Hallelujah! It pays on time, every time. Amen? And it pays ahead of time, so I get a $250 discount on each one for the next bill. Jamaican dollars now. Amen? Because God is rich towards us as we're rich towards him. Contentment, being at peace. The word contentment here means sufficiency. Equals an amount of something that is enough. Therefore, having God and just enough is great gain. Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying you should go out there and not work hard. Yeah, work hard. I'm not saying you shouldn't go out there and want to make a good salary and money. Yes. But that's not where your heart needs to be dependent. Am I okay? In the New Century Version, the verse says, serving God does make us very rich if we are satisfied with what we have. You see, if we get worrying about things, we're not rich. If we get wondering, well, next week, how am I going to do that? How am I going to do that? Listen, if you're rich towards God and budget your money properly, next week will be okay. Next week will be okay. You guys there, as you give to like you've given to this ministry, you're being rich towards God. Don't worry. Don't worry. That don't mean there isn't going to be struggle here and there and this and that and wondering to do that. Don't worry. If you're rich towards God, God will be rich towards you. God supplies all we need in accordance to our obedience. One of the men that taught me a lot was a guy named Buddy Harrison about giving. No matter where he was, it was time, offering time, he'd open his wallet and he'd take half of what he had in his wallet and put it in the offering plate. Or he would take the largest bill that was in there and put it in the offering plate. He ended up being the leader, or CEO of 9 corporations. The cars on his tire would buy another car. I mean, the tires on his car would buy another car. When Mary and I were going through some struggles and our pastor said, you know, you need to take a break. I said, we don't have any money to take a break. He said, how much you need? I said, we need $6,000. Buddy Harrison heard. He wrote a check for 3. When we're rich towards God and we're rich towards God's people, God is rich towards us. Amen? Verse 9 says, but those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. You don't know how many young men have died in Jamaica because of this lottery scamming, or this scamming business, lottery scamming business, and how many are in prison in the States. Well, when you're rich toward yourself, yourself can't reward you, just get you in trouble. Yeah, it's the truth. We are ready. We're reading in the news. In fact, Mary was sharing the other night about a woman that won the lottery and bought $300,000 worth of pocketbooks. Come on. And now she's broke. I try to get my wife, I know she has about 3 or 4 pocketbooks. I try to get her to carry a different one, but she carries the same one all the time. She likes that one. And of course, gets heavy, doesn't it, Kim Marley? The pocketbook gets heavy. It's like carrying a suitcase. But you understand what I'm saying? The key to God's sufficiency is not cheating of any kind. Am I repeating myself too much now? 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8 says, and God can give you more blessings than you need. Woo! So when God starts giving me more blessings than I need, I'm abundant. And now guess what? Don't be around me, because you're going to get blessed. I'm not going to build a bigger barn. I've got a big enough barn. Here. I may build you a barn. And God can give you more blessings than you need, and then you'll always have plenty of everything, enough to give to every good work. Yeah, that means when these missionaries from Jamaica come in and they take an offering, that's a good work. And because you've been obedient to God, you can reach in your pocketbook and give abundantly. Or some other missionary. Or someone in your church that may be going through a difficult situation. And you can stick in an envelope something, say who it's to, but don't say who it's from. Then God really honors that one. Now I'm going to talk a little bit about 4 steps, and then I'm going to do whatever God wants me to do. If you need prayer or anything like that, if you don't need prayer, fine. And I'll open the pulpit up to Pastor and my wife if she has something she needs to say. Steps to being rich towards God. Now you've heard this before. Malachi 3, verse 8 and 9. Can a person cheat God? Do some self-inventory here. Yet you are cheating me. But you ask, how are we cheating you? when you don't bring a tenth of your income and other contributions. That's God's words translation. When you don't bring a tenth of your income and other contributions. Here's the four steps. One, first thing you do when you get paid is tithe. Oh, I can't do that. I got this bill, that bill, this thing, that. I know I've been there. I've done that. I've said that. But Mary and I made a determination. I'll tell you what it is. Money that comes into the ministry is tithed to my home church in Delaware. Money that comes into Mary and I is tithed to our home church in Jamaica. And money that comes in through the website, through PayPal, is tithed to, what's their name? Bromley's, what's the first name? Bromley's in Haiti, missionaries in Haiti. They've been there 45 years. They talk Haitian better than some of the Haitians. And that's where that goes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the first thing is to tithe. The second thing is to donate to every good work. Now those two we know are in the scripture, so therefore they're required. But I've got two more that you can say yay or nay to. The next thing is not spend. The next thing is save. Mary and I have a savings account and a checking account. My Social Security check goes into the checking account. We're old enough for Social Security, you know. You're old enough now, Mary? And Mary's check goes into our savings account. And that's a savings account, but yet within that account, we got another little savings section that we take out to put there for a need. Amen? Tithe. Donate, save, and then spend. Oh, but I'm not going to have enough. If you follow tithing and giving to every good work, you'll have enough to save and to spend for what you need. Proverbs 18:20 says, people will be rewarded by what they say. People will be rewarded for what they say. They will be rewarded by how they speak. So over what you give, confess God's reward. And 2016 is the year of reward. Now, I just want to read a little thing, a quote from Warren Buffett. You've heard of Warren Buffett, right? This is a little tongue twister here, but I'll try to do it, all right? He says, do not save what is left after spending. Do not save what is left after spending, but spend what is left after saving. If you buy things you do not need, soon you will have to sell the things you need. Now, I know the man knows how to make money. I don't know what his Christian life is like, but I know how the man knows how to make money. And that makes sense to me. Amen? So let's try to do our best. And if the tithe is only a dollar, give the dollar. And then give 50 cents somewhere else. Believe me, it's real. And then we'll be rich towards God, and God will be rich towards us. Amen? Amen. Amen. Pastor, I'm done. Take over, but I'm here and Mary's here to pray for anybody if you need prayer. Amen? Amen. Amen. I should shut this off?
Yes. Thank you, Brother Bob. We're going to take an offering here in just a minute for the Hollins Ministry. It's a great opportunity for you to practice what he just preached. Amen. 1 Timothy 5:17 tells us this: the elders who direct the affairs of the church are worthy of double honor, paid well, it means, especially with those who work as preaching and teaching. So you guys have always been gracious and generous as a church. We've always been totally blessed by your hearts. And so whatever God speaks to you, I know you'll be obedient to that. And whatever you give will go directly into their ministry. And if you're making out a check and you want to make it just the initials, New Hope Christian Fellowship, NHCF, that's fine as well. We'll make sure they get that. So if the ushers come forward and take that, and then if the worship team would come forward as well, I would appreciate that. As they're coming forward, make sure that you take a moment after the service to bless the Hollands, say hi to them, and speak to the boys a little bit. And as the worship team is coming forward, if you need prayer for anything, whatever you need prayer for, feel free to come forward, and the Hollands and myself will be glad to pray with you. So as we stand and worship here in just a second, if you need prayer, feel free to come forward.
The Lamb who was slain.